Okay, give you an easy one. What book are we in? What letters of Paul are we in? Who said that? Well, you know. She takes notes. Galatians. Now, what chapter are we in? I assume that you guys are all bashful. It's not because you don't know.
Six.
We're going to six. We're not done with five yet. We're going to finish five today. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. And up to this point, Paul has been talking about the theological aspect, why Jesus plus is no Jesus at all. He says that if you are a law, if you want to obey the law, then Christ is no use to you. If you want to obtain your justification, righteousness from obeying the law, then Christ is no use to you. And these people, according to what Paul says, it seems like have broken Paul's heart. Because Paul spent all this time with them, teaching them about Jesus Christ. And yet, just a few agitators come, and then they are now going with these agitators, this mutilator of the flesh, as Paul calls them. Because these people also preach circumcisions. You need to be circumcised in order to be saved. Oh, then plus Jesus, then you need to be saved. So Jesus is regulated, be pushed into a smaller and smaller role in our salvations. And the law become more and more prominent. And that's what happened when you had Jesus plus. When you had Jesus plus, Jesus would become smaller and smaller. And whatever plus that you have becomes bigger and bigger. And Paul is not going to let that happen. So that's the theological part of Galatians, coming from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4. And then, beginning in chapter 5, he started application part of it. Now that you know the truth, Jesus Christ has come to free you from the slavery of sin, to free you from the shackle of sin. So, you are a free man. You don't have to go back to the law and let the law to shackle you. You are free. You are free to follow Jesus. So his theme in chapter 5 becomes freedom. Freedom in Christ. And in verse 16 to 26, his main theme is about keeping in step with Jesus, keeping in step with the Spirit. He's bringing in the work of the Holy Spirit. Because most of you, if you are devoted Christians, you know Galatians 5, 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. You can memorize that. But unfortunately, a lot of time we just go directly into that verse, to that verse, bypassing whatever was said prior to that. There's a reason why that he said what he said before, the fruit of the Spirit. Anyway, and today's main theme, if you're taking notes, is to be in sync with the Spirit. In sync with the Spirit. The Bible says, keep in step. If you were born, verse 25, you see, it says what? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. So let me read it. If you guys have your Bible, you can read it along with me. Nobody brings Bible anymore. Everybody has cell phone. You know, paper and ink is still better than electronics. Okay, so this is verse 16, chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words, and we pray the Holy Spirit brings the power and the insight and the illuminations to our hearts and our mind and change our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let me ask you, most of you who are connoisseur of pop culture, what is the most popular K-pop band in the world? Boy band in the world. Come on. BTS. I didn't know that. I saw a streaming of their like a music video. You know? Boy, I tell you, they can dance, can they? They dance in sync with each other. I mean, have you guys seen it? They're popular videos. Oh man, no wonder all the little girls' heart went out to them, you know. They are beautiful when they dance together. You know, if you for the older folks, maybe like us, maybe even younger than me, Michael Jackson, great dancer. Ever see his music video, Thrillers? And they, boy, the backup dancer and him, they were in sync with each other. In sync. That's why it's so beautiful when you watch them. American football. For most of you, you watch on TV, it's like a bunch of people pile up on each other. It's just, what is this to see? That's because you don't know football. If you know football, every move is choreographed, just like the dance move. If one lineman out of line was slow by a few seconds, it results in a lost yardage or a quarterback sack or whatever. Football. If you have to look at football like a dance move. They are in sync. 11 big men in sync, opening up holes for the running back, protecting the quarterback as he goes back. And two step, three step drops, and the wide receiver would have to be in sync with the timing. Sometimes he throws the ball before the wide receiver gets there. And then when the ball gets there, right, wide receiver just got there. So they catch the ball and run for a touchdown. It is beautiful if you see football from that light when the play works. That's what you see. So synchronization is critical to these performances. It's the same with your life as you sync up with the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't sync up, I don't know. I mean, have you seen the practice of these BTS when they're not in sync? Or if you watch football and all these people, all these players were not in sync, it looks ugly. Lost yardage. People get hurt. So synchronization, in sync, is not just when they are together, it's beautiful, but it's critical in dance or in the football. And then in Galatians 5:16-26, he begins by saying that we have clashed. We are not in sync as a person. As a person, because there are two natures to us. They're always clashing with each other. There are two natures with us. And there is a, he identified there's a sinful nature, right? And then there is a spiritual nature that you are giving that once you receive Jesus Christ. The Spirit comes in. So now you have two. You have two natures. And if you read verse 16-18, it says, the key words here, the sinful nature, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The desires of sinful nature. Your nature, your sinful nature always desire for something. And Satan knows it. And Satan comes and tempt that, your desire. And you see that happen in Jesus when he was tempted. He hasn't eaten for 40 days. So Satan comes and tempted his desire for food. His desire for food. So your desire is subject to temptations from Satan. Now, your desire is a little bit more than food now, right? Your desire, your food become more complicated today. You just don't want to have bread. You want to have, I don't know, what's the best restaurant in Charlottesville? I probably have never been there.
Bodo's.
Your desire for Bodo's, okay? Not just bread, right? Not just a piece of white bread or wheat bread. And your desire could be, I don't know, a new house, new cars. I mean, that's what we always say. House, cars, girls, you know, all these desires, they're not necessarily sinful by itself. But if, when they become a necessity, then that can lead to an evil desire. That could lead to a sinful desire. It's not wrong to eat. But if you says, unless I have a 5-star Michelin restaurant, I will not be satisfied. Then that desire has become a little bit more than just desire for food. So that is our desire, right? That is our sinful desire. It can turn into a sinful desire. But look at what God says about that. God says something about food too, right? Other than Jesus saying that the man does not live by what? Bread alone. But then Jesus also said this in Matthew 6:25-33. That is the spiritual part of you speaking to you. What I just said, what Satan tempts you is from of your sinful desire. This is what the spiritual desire. This is what the spirit desire. 25 to 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lily of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, would he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagan run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's the spirit speaking. That's the spiritual aspect of your life, that these words come into you and you understand them. You can appreciate them. But then there's other part of you that says, this is good, but I still want to have my Michelin five-star restaurant. I still want that really nice car. I still want to have a bigger house. I still want this. That's the two aspects. So what do they do? They clash. What God said here, and what Satan says to tempt your flesh, is opposite. That's why this says they are contrary to each other. So sad. You know, we Christians are sad people. You know, non-Christian doesn't have these struggles, because they only have one nature, sinful nature. They gratify the desire of the flesh. The gratified desire of sinful nature. They don't have any struggle. The struggle only comes when you have two. They're fighting against each other, because they're contrary to each other. Non-Christians, you know, I do what I like to do. I eat what I like to eat. When I have money, I buy what I want. So only you Christians have struggles. That's why I always say, so sad. You know, people think that once you become Christians, peace reigns, you know, riches, you know, bounty, blessing from God. No. Once you become Christians, you have that other nature that comes in. You struggle all the time. Sometimes you win when you're in sync with the Spirit. Sometimes you lose when you're out of sync with the Spirit. You know, this is also the reason why I see most of the people in this world are probably not Christians, not born-again Christians. Maybe they say they're Christian, but they're not born-again Christians. So you can see the sinful nature dominates their lives, dominates the individual. And the individual makes up the society, individual makes up culture, individual makes up nations. So you can see how our culture has changed over decades, because the sinful nature is one of those things. It's an insatiable kind of thing. The more you have, the more you want. And you can never satisfy your sinful nature. So that is the clash we experience all the time. Later on, we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with clash? Because I think most of you can agree there's clash, but most of you don't know. What am I supposed to do? You know, woe is me. Paul says, you know, woe is me, who can help me get out of this struggles that I have? And then Paul lists for us acts of sinful nature from verse 19 and 21. By all means, that this is not an exhaustive list. It doesn't mean that your sinful nature only do these things, and there are other things. This is only a representative list. And the list is here. There is a reason why the order is this. You have your sinful nature. He lists all the things of sinful nature. Then he comes and with the fruit of the Spirit. What the Spirit produces. There's two acts, right? Because of two nature. There's a reason why sinful nature first. Because the list is not for you to, say, make a mental notice and say, okay, I don't want to be like that. A watch list for you to be careful to avoid this. No, the list is list there for you for self-examinations. I'm sure that we probably have done two or three, if not more, of some of these things that he listed. Envy? Jealousy? How many of us has never had envy and jealousy? How many of us has never had a fit of rage? How many of us has never had any selfish ambitions? Paul lists them. It's not so that you can avoid them. Paul lists them for you to examine yourself. Where were you on this? And then he tells you, this is what you ought to be. This is who you are now. That's the sinful nature, the dual nature part of you. And then there's you, your spiritual self. You need to be there. So for us, if we want to go there, we need to know where we start. We're here in this category. So we want to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. We want to be there. So we can ask the Lord to help us to be like that. When we have jealousies, when we have fits of rage, when we get angry, I can't control my anger. I said, Lord, help me to give me the fruit of the Spirit so I have self-control. Teach me self-control. See? Unless you know who you are, where you're at, you can never crave for that which God wants to give us. That's why I think people sometimes just go directly into the fruit of the Spirit. You know, they can recite that this is good fruit of the Spirit without actually looking themselves. It says, where am I? What part of the fruit of the Spirit? I need the Lord to really work on it because that my sinful nature is like this. And also, it says, fruit of the Spirit is one. It's not like nine fruit of the Spirit. This is not nine fruit. This is one fruit. The reason why it's one fruit is because you cannot have love without patience. Love is patience, right? 1 Corinthians 13. You cannot have patience unless you show kindness to other people. Unless you show kindness to other people. You cannot have faithfulness without having joy in your life. You know, all these things, they're connected. They're not just individual. So you cannot say, okay, Lord, just give me peace. I'm not sure I want to have patience. You know, I still want to have my fit of anger. I still want to give me the right to be angry, you know? Just give me peace. But, you know, you cannot have peace without patience. You cannot have peace without patience. They're together. They're the same fruit. Usually I like to explain like this. It's like a diamond. The fruit of the Spirit is like a diamond. But you can look at it from a different angle. And they have brilliance of their own when you look at different angles. But they are the same diamond. They're the one diamond. So you cannot have one without another. Love, joy, peace. They're connected. Patience, kindness, goodness. They're connected. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They are together. They're together. And Paul lists them for us, so that we can ask the Lord, says, Lord, help me. Give me the fruit of the Spirit. But in this area, I am especially need your help. I especially need the Spirit to teach me to be good. To be good. I need the Spirit to enable me to have self-control. But you know the thing is, once you work on one area, the other area comes in too. You know, when the Lord works on your self-control, then you become more patient, believe it or not. And when the Lord gives you more patience, you feel that you can speak slower. You will not get angry so much. And then you can speak words of kindness to people. See, when the Lord starts working on one area, and all these other area grows as well. So, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. So this is what keeping in step with the Spirit means. Is that you understand your sinful nature, you understand who you are, you seek the Lord to work on the area that you are short of by the fruit of the Spirit, by the Spirit. And then your life grow. Then the fruit of the Spirit dominates. You know, I'm in the camp that believe that you can never be fully spiritual. What I mean is that your dual person is going to stay with you until you meet the Lord. And the Lord give you a new body. And then you say, praise God. You know, you're no longer subject to temptations. So your dual nature will stay with you until you meet the Lord. But what you can do is that you can allow the Spirit to be more dominant in your life. You know, our losing struggle is that our sinful nature more or less wins all the battles, all the clashes. But what Paul says that we can have the Spirit to die. That's how in step with the Spirit. It's like practicing, you know, practicing. You do make wrong moves, okay? You do make wrong moves. But then, you know, you correct them. And then you're in step with the rest of the band and rest of the football team. So that's what Paul wants us to understand. You know, when I... the reason I say that it's not possible, because I try really hard to not to give in to my sinful nature. Every time I fall, I vow to the Lord, I will never do that again. I will do better. Not never do again. I will do better. I renew my commitment to Jesus Christ, and over again. I think my vow and commitments are sincere. I think the Lord Jesus Christ also knows that I'm sincere. You know, there's forgiveness for me to take. And the Lord always take the lead to come and seek me out. But to vow that you can do better is to put too much of your effort on yourself. So you say, maybe I shouldn't vow. I shouldn't vow. Well, maybe you shouldn't. But I just feel that as we fell down, as we sort of kind of cycle through the same weaknesses and sin over and over again, what do you do? What do you do? Well, verse 24, those who have belonged to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with his passion and desires. It is about keeping in step with Jesus. It's about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And Paul had that struggle, right? In Romans chapter 7, I think most of you know that that his struggle is with the same thing. It's about the what he wants to do, he doesn't do. What he doesn't want to do, he keep on doing. Well, we all know that. We all experience that. And that's why he cried out, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will rescue me?" He's a Christian when he wrote this experience, because he has two natures, dueling, clashing. But then he says, "Thanks be God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then this is the key to me as I deal with this. This is the key in chapter 8, verse 1. What does it say? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I sin. I sin more. I continue to with the same sin and continue stumble over the same thing. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And I am at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. I am constantly being condemned by my own conscience. I constantly feel guilty of doing what I do. I don't want to do, but I keep doing. I constantly feel guilty. But what is releasing us, releasing Paul from this constant, I guess, guiltiness, is that he comes to Jesus Christ. And he says, in Christ, there's no more condemnations. Get up and do it again. You don't stay down because the forgiveness, no condemnations in Christ. Of course, we can abuse that. But still, that forgiveness is for us to take and take it in, breathe it in. That is, I think, the key to us to turn around. Because by your own effort, you were never able to overcome your your sinful nature. The Spirit has to dominate that. And even then, you may win more battles than you lose, but still you lose some battles. But it is for the Spirit to dominate that. But in order for the Spirit to dominate your sinful nature, the first thing that you have to do is that I am what? I am under no condemnations, even when I sin. Even when I sin. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had taken up all my sins. That is the beginning of you allowing the Spirit to come in more and more. That is the beginning of your step with Christ, in step with the Spirit. Then there's the other. So that's first thing, right? How do you deal with keeping in step with Christ? You believe that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, even when you fall. Even when you fall. The second thing about how to keep in step with the Spirit is that you remember Jesus invited us to say, "He who is heavy laden, come to me. I shall give you rest." Yoke together with him. Yoke together is a farming term, right? It's two cows yoking together. A lot of our interpretations is that, okay, we yoke it together with God, and then he takes over. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. Because he's not taking my burden. I yoke with him. But that is not the reality. That's not what the verse Jesus means, that you just give up. Okay, you give it to the Lord. That's not what it is. If you go to Matthew 11, you see what he says, what Jesus says about yoking together. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." So it's not just saying, okay, Jesus, you'll take over. It's that you are walking in sync, in step with Jesus who's right next to you. You're walking in step with him. And his step, he wants us to learn, is his gentleness and his humilities. That's how you are continue to keep in step with the Spirit. You continue to humble before God, not trusting on your own judgment. You continue to what? Be gentle. Gentle means not having fit rage, right? Gentleness is the fruit of the Spirit. You yoke together, it means keeping in step with him. It's not just saying, okay, he drags you along, you know. It's not him dragging you along. You keep in step with him. That's called yoking together. That's called yoking together. So, we come back to BTS. There's a spiritual lesson watching BTS, you know. I saw a documentary, not about BTS, but I ever heard a group called Pink Black or Black Pink? Yes? Somebody say yes? Right? Black Pink, right? It's also a K-pop. It's a, you know, and they have a documentary about how they select people to be in the band. And then how they practice, how they, you know, dress, how they, everything is managed. Everything is choreographed. And I see their practice sections. And just over and over and over. For a 5 minutes show, okay, 5 minutes music video. Usually they make their money by music videos, not by concert. Music video. 5 minutes music video. They practice for weeks, if not months, for that one number. So they can be in sync with each other. You know, so when someone make a move, everybody knows, you know, to make the moves. And what you see is the product of many, many months of practice. So they can be like that. Same thing with football players. They are together for years before they can become a good team. What does that say to us? Is that we need to learn to practice. You don't always get it on the first time. You don't always get it. You fall. And then the word of the Lord comes. No condemnations, my child. Get up. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. You know how often that word becomes my inspirations and my encouragement. You felt, it's okay, let's do it again. Let's do it again. That's who we are. We practice. We go through life with this in mind. Eventually, as you become more and more dominated by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit become more and more visible in your life. More and more visible in your life. That you become more and more enjoying the Spirit of God in you. And you, and more and more, you can discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. More and more, you can hear what the Spirit is saying to you. But it takes practice. I have been Christian for close to 35 years. Sometimes I just thought I wasted all my time. But the Spirit of the Lord says, no, you did not waste your time. You were practicing. As you practice, you get better. You get better. And not that you vow to get better. Of course, that's part of your determinations. But you get up and do it again. That's what Paul wants to encourage us. It's not that, okay, there it is. Just go do it. Become like that. Filled with the Spirit. Have all these fruit. Paul knows that. Paul is different. You know, from when he first became Christians and when he wrote his last letters. He has fallen. He has time when he doesn't know. He's confused about God's will for him. But whenever he's fallen, he gets up by the grace of God. No condemnations in Christ Jesus. Let's do it again. That's what Jesus Christ gave us. That's what Jesus Christ gave us. Praise to God. Praise be the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have been so patient with us. Because some of these things, I feel that I should learn it in 20 years ago. But yeah, I'm still learning. I thank you, Lord, that you have so much patience with me. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that your encouragement for me is that there is no condemnation. I am always your child. I'm always your child, and you always be available for me. And sometimes I don't even know how to come to you, but you come and seek me. Thank you, Jesus, for being a part of my life. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your spirit will become more and more part of my life, leading me, speaking to me, illuminate me. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.